Well, good evening. Welcome to Bible Baptist Church. Take your Bible with me and turn to Psalm chapter 96. I trust you have listened to Sunday school Sunday morning, whether you met with us out in the parking lot or not. I trust that you have heard and are excited about getting back to church. I mentioned it in the previous messages. I mentioned it at our drive-in service, but let me encourage you, watch your emails, look on the Facebook page, look on our church website. All of those things will have important information about coming back to church inside the doors. I'll be so excited next week to unlock our doors, to allow people to come back in and join together. We're putting all sorts of safety precautions in there. If you have a mask and would like to wear that, I'd encourage you to bring it. It's not mandatory, but we'd encourage you to do it. If that's something you're concerned about, we will have some here if you'd like one. But that's out there. The deacons have been working very hard at putting together all sorts of precautions to try to keep you safe during this time. And so I encourage you, if you are planning to come back, let me ask that you sign up on our webpage. It doesn't reserve a seat for you or anything like that. If you don't sign up, it doesn't mean you can't come. We're just trying to prepare the church for you. And if we know a number, or at least a tentative number, it will help us in doing that. And so next Sunday, May 31st, no drive-in, but we will have church inside. I encourage you to come. Now, we may try to, and I don't know whether we'll be able to, still broadcast out into the parking lot. We're going to try to have a couple different things going on, and we're working on trying to do that. I will let you know for sure on Wednesday whether we can do that or not. And so if you have questions as you get closer, just let us know. Maybe you want to come back to the church, but you're not ready to walk in the doors. Hopefully, we'll still be able to broadcast out to the parking lot like we have been for our drive-in service. Here in Psalm 96 answers a question for us as we get ready to come back to church, how to come to church. Psalm 96, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts." Verse 9, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with His truth." Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to hear Your word once again. Lord, I do pray a blessing on the reading of Your word. And Lord, now as we listen and as we ponder and as we think, Lord, I ask, as we saw this morning, that our heart is prepared, Lord, to understand, Lord, to receive knowledge, not just so we can be smarter, but Lord, so that we can do that which You've commanded. And Lord, be an example of the believers. Whether we're young or old, we have that opportunity. And so, Lord, I pray now for the preaching of Your word, that You give me wisdom as I preach, and we'll thank You for it. In Your name I pray, amen. Are you excited to get back to church? I know I am. I'm excited to get back in the building. There's something about being in the house of God, with the people of God, singing the praise of God. There's nothing like it. These past several months have been excruciating hard. I'm thankful that we've at least been able to be out in the parking lot. But I can't wait to be back in the house of God. So how is it we come to church? When the doors finally open next Sunday, how is it that you're going to come? How is it that I'm going to come? You may say, Pastor, I plan on driving there. You may be able to walk there because you just live next door, but I plan on driving there. Well, good. That's not what we're talking about. Why do we come to church? What's your purpose for being in church? What attitudes are affecting the impact of the message that you're going to hear in church? You see, there are those who will come because they want to be entertained. There are those who will come to fulfill basic social needs. Most come with an attitude of getting something out of it. But is that what Sunday is all about? I believe there are four ways we need to come to church, which will impact all of us. As you get ready to walk back through those doors for those who are able. And by the way, nobody's going to judge you if you don't come. We're not going to say, oh, they're not spiritual. They don't have enough faith. That's not it at all. I understand, and you should also, that there are people who will not come next Sunday or the Sunday after or the Sunday after because of health concerns. I get that. I understand that. There are people who ought not to come next Sunday because of health issues. But I'm here to tell you, when you do come, what kind of attitude will you have? There are four ways that we need to come to church when we come that will impact us all. We need to come reverently, enthusiastically, expectantly, and most important, empty. The first that we'll see here from Psalm 96 is that we need to come reverently. One author wrote this, I often visit newcomers in town and find them to be church shopping. They want to know what they can get out of church. Churches are one more consumer commodity. Worship services are not a place for us to serve God and our neighbor, but a place where people expect to purchase the best. Inspiring worship, good music, moving sermons, quality child care. As if we buy God and not vice versa. Notice in our text the reverent nature in which we are to come. Look at verse number 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared, to stand in awe of Him above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. Listen, this world has devout as they are, as sincere as they are, unless they're serving the one true God, unless they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they're serving an idol made by hands. And many of us serve an idol in our mind. I want God to be this, this, and this. I don't want God to be this, this, and this. We pick and choose. We make God. Listen, there is one God and only one God. Honor and majesty, verse 6, are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. We come to church not to be entertained, not to get, but to give. We come to praise an almighty and awesome living God. We come to meet together in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Psalm chapter 89, verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembling of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. Psalm chapter 2, verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Worship begins when we see the majesty and the greatness of the one we worship and at the same time realize our own unworthiness before Him. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with twain he did cover his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Listen, when we come into church, we come into the assembly of the saints. We come with the purpose and intent of expressing an offering of worship to our God. Our primary purpose should not focus on what we are to receive, but we are what we are lifting up to God. Do we have a right view of who He is? He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the great I Am. He is a God who is omnipotent, omniscient. He is a God who has no equal and has no rival. He is holy, holy, holy. He is perfect. He always was and He always will be. He is a God who in six literal days created the heavens and the earth. And I love the verse, oh, by the way, He made the stars also. He is a God who knows your name. He is a God who knows your heart. He is a God who wants a personal relationship with you. And when we talk about how majestic and awesome our God is, let me ask you, why would He want me? Why would He want a relationship with you? Think of it this way. If you can talk about any of your professional sports that you want. Okay? I haven't had anybody from the Green Bay Packers come knock on my door and ask me to play for them. I know they just drafted a new quarterback and all of that. But you know what? They didn't come and ask me to be quarterback. They didn't come ask me to be running back. They didn't come and ask me to be the head coach. Why? Because I've got nothing to offer them. I've got nothing to offer them. The best I could do is maybe give the Aaron Rodgers a cup of Gatorade or whatever it is. But when it comes to playing on the field, they don't want me on that field. Because I have nothing to offer them. How much greater is the difference between God and us? God is holy, holy, holy. We are wretched, wicked, sinful beings. For in me dwelleth no good thing. All of my righteousnesses in God's sight as filthy rags. I am sinful, and God is holy. God knows everything. I know nothing. I don't care how smart you are. You don't know what God knows. He's so far above you. He's so far beyond you. If God could forget, which He can't, He would have forgotten more than you will ever know. And yet, we try to tell God what to do. We try to tell God how things should be. We try to tell God. And we think in our finite minds that if I can't understand Him, that and it just doesn't make sense, that I don't have to follow Him and I don't have to do His will. Listen, there is a great span between us and God, not only in His holiness and our sinfulness, not only in His wisdom and our lack of it, not only in His strength and our lack of it. There's a great distance between us and God, and we need to remember that when we come to this church, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's not about us feeling good. It's about worshiping God. How do you come to church when the doors finally open? The first way you come is absolutely reverently. If it would be appropriate, we should come on our knees with our faces on the ground. Why? Because of who He is. Now, I'm so thankful that I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Because I put my faith and trust in Him, He's taken and washed away all of my sins. But I still need to remember my place. I still need to remember who He is. I still need to remember who I am. The first way we are to come is to come reverently. And I love the second one. We're to come enthusiastically. Notice the first four verses of our text. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised, for He is to be feared above all gods. Above all gods. We are to come enthusiastically. Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, we're going to be glad because next Sunday we get to come into the house of the Lord. We don't have to sit in the parking lot any longer. We get to gather again, and we'll do so safely, and it won't look like it has or like it will, but we get to gather once again, and I'm excited about that. Are we excited just because we get to come in to the church? Or are we really excited because we get to worship God? Psalm 95, verse 2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Psalm 69, 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Our worship is the active response to God the Father through the Son. We, the worshiper, stand in a personal relationship of sonship to God on the basis of our adoption in Christ Jesus. It's not a passive idea. Worship is always active. Worship is not stoically sitting in a pew. Worship is the actions, the attitude, the response of believers to a holy, majestic, awesome God. We come to the assembly on the Lord's Day, not so much to receive, but to offer sacrifices of praise. Hebrews 13:15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We acknowledge what God has done for us. We acknowledge what God is doing for us. We acknowledge His faithfulness. We acknowledge His love. We acknowledge His forgiveness. We acknowledge His wisdom. We acknowledge His guidance and direction. We worship Him. We worship Him. We bless His name, we sing to Him, we offer our gifts to Him as well as our praise and our adoration. We come reverently, we come enthusiastically. But here's the third one. We come expectantly. We come expectantly. Verse 12, let the field be joyful and all that is therein, then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. When you come, can I encourage you to expect God to speak to you? If you come expecting nothing, that's probably what you'll get. If you come hungry, you'll get served. And you'll feast on the Word of God. If you come thirsty, you'll get to drink of the living water that will spring up in you. In some ways, the church is a filling station. Although our primary focus is to worship God, He must be central. We do meet in this place each week to be equipped and energized to do God's work in this world. We come together to encourage one another, to cheer each other on, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:13. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The church is to be a place where each of us grow and become involved in His work. A survey of hundreds of pastors has provided a list of measurable quality factors in the life of a congregation. And there are 12 of them that they boiled them down. How are you doing in these things? First of all, Bible knowledge. Church members should be increasing in their grasp of the teaching of the Word of God. They can integrate this with a theological system that enables them to apply the Bible's teaching to their own life situation. How are you doing at growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man? How are you doing in grasping the understanding? Can you say that you're further down the line, that you know more of Christ and His death, His burial, and resurrection? Can you take the Word of God and begin to apply it to your own life? Bible knowledge. Number two, personal devotions. Members spend time daily in prayer, Bible reading, meditating, and other personal spiritual exercises. How about you? What's your quiet time like? What's your personal time with Christ like? Worship, number three. Members regularly participate in the worship services scheduled by the church. Are you here when you can or when it's convenient? We talked about commitment. What's your commitment level? Witnessing, number four. Members regularly attempt to share their faith in Jesus Christ with unbelievers. When's the last time you shared your faith? Lay ministry. The lay people of the church are engaged in such ministries as teaching and discipling. What is a lay minister? Lay ministry or lay people are simply church people who are members of the church. Church members, in some cases, and it happens through conscious discovering, developing, and using their spiritual gifts. This is a place where you ought to roll up your sleeves and get involved. Everyone has something to teach. Everyone has something to learn. We need to be teaching and we need to be learning. And the only way to do that is by coming in, joining, rolling up your sleeves, and getting involved. Missions. The church actively supports missions, organizing and sustaining a strong program for recruiting, sending, and financing home and foreign missions. Giving. Members give an appropriate portion of their income to the local church and or to other Christian causes. Giving. We've talked on giving before. You ought to tithe every Sunday. What if you miss a Sunday? Okay, if your tithe, if you make, we'll say, $1,000 a week and your tithe is $100 and you're not in church this Sunday, next Sunday, how much ought you give? You can do the math. How are you doing at that? Are you being faithful giving, not only of your income, but also of your time, also of your talent? Are we giving to the Lord? Fellowship, number 8. Members are growing in their personal relationship with each other through regular participation in church fellowship groups of one kind or another. How are you doing at getting to know people in our church? It's easy to talk to people we know. It's easy to talk to people we like. It's easy to talk to family. We've got some families in here. It's easy to talk to them, but everyone needs to get involved in everyone's life. I don't care your background, your race, your ethnicity. I don't care if you're German, Swedish, Jewish, whatever it is. You need to get involved in somebody's life. Listen, you're never going to make a difference in people's life unless you're involved. I say this all the time about preaching. Preaching from the pulpit is secondary to meeting with and working with and getting involved in people's life. Number 9, distinctive lifestyle. Members generally manifest their faith in Christ by living a lifestyle clearly and noticeably distinct from that of non-Christians. Does your walk different? Is your music different? Is your language different? Is your work ethic different? Is your modesty different? Is the way you spend your leisure time different? Are your standards different? Number 10, attitude towards religion. Church members regard their involvement in the church primarily as a service to God rather than a means to fulfill personal needs. Number 11, social service. Members are serving others outside of the church. It includes direct personal involvement with poor and needy or in programs designed to help the needy. I'm here to tell you, when you minister to those who have needs, God blesses. And then number 12, social justice, either through the congregation as a whole or through specialized Christian agencies. Members are striving to make changes in their socio-political structures that will contribute to a more moral and just society. Number 4, come reverently, enthusiastically, expectantly. And then number 4, and this is key, come empty. Let me ask this question. Why is, or should I say, who is the focus of this entire psalm? I'm going to read through it again, and you listen carefully to focus on the writer. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all gods of the nation are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. When you come to church, you must come empty. God wants to fill us. But some of you are already too full. We are full of our own preconceived ideas and notions. If God is going to fill us, we must become empty vessels. You must empty yourself of both sin and self. Psalm chapter 24, who shall ascend in the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. D.L. Moody said, I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition and the world, there's no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we can be filled. Let me ask you this evening, is this your prayer? Holy fire, burn away my desire for anything that is not of you and is of me. I want more of you and less of me. Empty me, fill me with you, with you. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of him, water springing up into everlasting life. Listen, if you come empty, you will be filled. God promises. When you come back to church next Sunday, when you step foot back in these doors, let me encourage you to come reverently. Come enthusiastically, come expectantly, but come empty. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity once again to preach your word. I pray your blessing on this message. Lord, use it in the life of your people, I pray. Lord, I'm so excited we get to come back to church, but Lord, may we be ready to come. It's in your name I ask these things. Amen.